es decir, the bulletin says, Luke 2, that I made a decision this week after the bulletin had been printed, because we focused on Luke 2 this morning, that I would be looking at, we would be looking at Matthew's telling of the birth of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear now the word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. None of the people in this story anticipated what happened to them. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, name any character that's a part of this very familiar narrative. None of them asked for this great disruption in their lives. God blindsided them. Take Joseph. It's safe to say that Joseph's plan, by the way, you know the old saying that if you really want to make God laugh, tell him your plan for your life. It's safe to say that Joseph's plan is that he was going to settle down. He was going to get married to his fiancée, Mary. He was going to continue to be the kind of straight arrow citizen he had always been, pay his taxes and lead a quiet life, be a good carpenter. Nice little ordinary life in Nazareth. But those plans were shattered. Mary was pregnant, and Joseph had nothing to do with it. There are some people, and I understand that, I get it, there are people who have trouble believing in the virgin birth. Let me assure you that Joseph had more trouble believing it than you. This was not his plan. Now, in the first century, betrothal and marriage, very different than in our culture today. It was a three-stage process. First of all, there was a signed agreement between the families, and it usually involved an exchange of gifts and the making of a commitment. Then they entered into stage two, which was a period of betrothal that lasted 1 year. And during that time, the bride and groom were considered legally married, but did not live together and remained chaste. Then the third stage came with the wedding, when the marriage was finally consummated only after the groom took the bride into his home. So during that year-long betrothal, Mary's life and her plans are completely disrupted by God. The angel Gabriel came calling to tell her that she would bear a son. And this child would be the Son of God. And then Mary had to tell Joseph. Now remember, these are not figurines in a creche. These are real people. And I wonder about that conversation. How did she tell him? Did she tell him herself? Did she try to explain that the Holy Spirit would place this new life within her? Did she cry? What we do know is that Joseph, the text says Joseph was a just man and did not want to put her to shame. And so he resolved to himself that he would just break it off quietly, as little embarrassment to her as possible. He would take the shame, whatever came his way, and go on with his life. Joseph, remember, was not consulted about any of this. By the time he hears about it from Mary and then from an angel, all the decisions have been made. He's simply told that his fiancée is pregnant. The child is from the Holy Spirit. It will be a boy. And to top it all off, the name has already been picked. You will call him Jesus. Joseph is out of the loop at every step, and for that matter, Mary is too. The process that has begun in her body is out of her control. Their lives will never be the same. And that's when God disrupted Joseph's life again, this time with a dream, and said, spoke to him in a dream. The unplanned will come into your life sooner or later, won't it? This past year, and if not this past year, then certainly in the year ahead, some of us in this place right now will experience a disruption. And you'll find your plans and your hopes for your future in a ruin. Maybe somebody you love will be taken away from you. Might be a parent or a spouse or a child or a close friend. Maybe there will be a sickness come into your life or into your family. Maybe it'll be a lost job or a disruption in your marriage. When you discover something like that, when something like that just breaks into your life, the first thing you try to do is put a stop to it. And then you discover you can't do that. You're out of the loop. Now, when that happens, like Joseph, you have a great choice to make. Because you're disappointed and you're hurt, you may just be tempted to try to run away from it. That never works. The other option is to believe that God loves you, that he's at work in this, and that he is worth trusting no matter what. And in order for that to happen, you're going to need to hear God's word and believe. You're going to need to hear God's word and believe. Believe that God's word is infinitely more reliable than your plan. Only God can speak his word into your life. He did it for Joseph. He will do it for you. Now, I'm not saying that you'll have a dream with a vivid vision of an angel. I found that in my own life, this is the way God speaks, and millions of others have found it too, that this word speaks life into my life. The angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. By the way, the name Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua, and it means God saves. You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now wait a minute, God. Take her home as my wife, and believe that this child is from your Holy Spirit, just because you said so? Yes, just because God said so. And God is true to his word. Friends, you can trust it. You can build your life on it. God is true to his word. What he says, he will do. What? Accept a new job and move to another town, just because this new job might work out? What? Discover gratitude for life through having a life-threatening disease? What? Find a new beginning in my life because someone I love died? Yes. Because God has said, I will be with you. God has said, I will never fail you or forsake you. God has said, I work all things together for good. Brothers and sisters, God's word is to be trusted no matter what. And the proof is that the word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. That's what John's gospel says about the birth of Jesus, that the very word of God became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. C.S. Lewis called it the great miracle, the grand miracle. And it's the greatest of all because the infinite God took on human flesh and came among us. Jesus of Nazareth, God in the flesh. He came to us absolutely vulnerable, a baby in a manger, and remained vulnerable all the way to the cross. Jesus Christ is the final irrefutable proof that God will do whatever it takes to get near us, to call us to himself, to love us and to save us. He made himself so vulnerable that we nailed him to a cross. And in that perfect sacrifice, he once and for all defeated the power of sin and death and evil. God laid on Jesus the punishment and the death that was due to you and me. And God raised him up, and Jesus is alive and still speaking in the world right now, speaking in this place right now. Jesus is the Word made flesh who will speak into your life if you will only listen and turn to him and trust. And even if you're in a dark place right now, and especially if you're in a dark place right now, you can trust him. He has sealed his word with his blood, and he's working all things together for good if you'll follow him and trust him. I'm going to tell you a story, close with a story. And I've shared it with you before, but I love it so much I'm going to share it with you again. It's a true story. The life of First Lieutenant Claire W. Klein was painfully disrupted. His plan painfully disrupted in early 1944 when his B-24 bomber was shot down over occupied Holland. Once again, this was not his plan. He was captured and imprisoned in a German POW camp. The winter was bitterly cold, and there was barely enough food to stay alive. Hunger was constant. The rules of the Geneva Convention did not allow officers to work, and so boredom was his constant companion. He spent his time writing letters home to his wife, Claire, and he had a penknife, and so he would find pieces of wood, and he carved little models of a B-24 bomber. Dozens of them. And as the months wore on and the boredom turned to despair, he began to cry out to God for something constructive to do. He couldn't understand why God was just letting him slowly waste away. Well, then one day a fellow prisoner whistled a song that was familiar, and it brought back a memory from his boyhood in Minnesota. And the memory was when he was 7 years old, his father, rather it was his uncle, had presented him with a violin as a gift. And he took that violin at the age of 7 and started learning to play it and devoted himself to it and became quite accomplished on the violin. That was it. Back to the concentration camp now, prison camp. He would make a violin. But the more he thought about it, the more he thought, this is really a foolish idea. Where would he find the materials to make a violin in this place? But then a dream came to him. He wasn't asleep, but it was a dream, and he was convinced God had spoken to him. He remembered something his father had said to him years before. His father said, "You can make something out of nothing, son. All you have to do is find a way." So he started scrounging around the barracks for materials. The beechwood slats from his bunk would do well for the violin's body. He would carve the wood with his penknife, just as he had those little airplanes. He found a sharp piece of broken glass to carve the finer parts of the violin. At first he was stumped about where he would find glue, but then he discovered that in the chairs, where the legs of chairs were joined together and the different parts of the chair glued, there was little tiny pieces of dried glue that would just kind of extrude from those joints, and he could scrape that off and grind it up and with a little saliva make glue. He bartered with other prisoners and guards to get sandpaper, varnish, pumice, paraffin oil. The violin soon became a community project. One of the guards went into a nearby town and came back with catgut strings and horsehair for the bow. After 3 months of hard work, the violin was finished in time for Christmas. But even after reaching his goal, Christmas Eve 1944 was a heartsick day for Claire Klein and the 16 other prisoners in his barracks. They tried to lift each other's spirits by sharing memories of Christmases back home, but the memories seemed to make the time even darker. Throughout the day of Christmas Day, they tried to cheer each other up with imagined Christmas dinner menus. But as the light slipped away and evening came, their attempts at laughter and good cheer began to falter. And a quiet came over the group, and their thoughts turned to home and their loved ones and their fear that they may never see those loved ones again. Well, it was in the dark of that night that Claire Klein picked up the violin and began to play Silent Night. And soon the other prisoners joined in singing. And after a few moments, Klein realized that there was a voice he was hearing that stood out from the others. And he heard the words, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. And peering into the shadows, he saw one of the German guards singing along with tears filling his eyes as they sang the song of the Christ Child. Well, Claire Klein made it home, and he lived the rest of his life in Tacoma, Washington. He raised a family there with his wife, Anne. All of his children are in major orchestras. He died in 2010, and his handmade violin is now on display at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Now, I don't know what disruption will come into your plans. It may at first seem like only darkness, but it's in the darkness that God speaks His word, if we will only listen and trust. Brothers and sisters, a mighty Savior has been born into this world. Jesus Christ is God with us. And God's Word tells us that His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Every one of us is going to enter into that darkness eventually, into what the Psalm called the darkness of the shadow of death. But even there, your hand will lead me, your rod and your staff will comfort me. The Good Shepherd will lead every step of the way, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You laid aside the glory of heaven and entered into the dark night of this hurting and sin-sick world. And You came with the light of life. We thank You that You came to give life and give it to the full. And we thank You that Your Word is dependable and true, and a solid rock that we can build our lives on no matter what, and You will lead us through. Lord Jesus, when those painful disruptions come, when our plans are in a shambles, draw us by Your Holy Spirit to turn to You and to trust and to follow, just as Mary and Joseph did. And we thank You that through their faithfulness, You came into the world. And we pray it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.